Hi, folks. This is CBD of the Cut Jib Newsletter Worldwide Podcasting Network. I'm here in rainy Paris, chatting with my friend and co-potter, JJ Sefton. We're going to start a new season. We took a week off last week. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. So we're going to start a new season, and whether this new season is going to be any different than the old season, I have no idea. We'll find out in about half an hour. Anyway, Sefton, how are you doing?
I am doing very well, sir. Thank you very much. And bienvenue from sunny and pleasant Wisconsin, southern Wisconsin. And things are looking up, I must say. And we will be podcastulating yet again. And I'm sure it'll be the continued nonsense that you've come to know and appreciate or despise from us. So there you have it. We aim to not disappoint.
Yeah. So obviously the big news is the possibility, the significant possibility of a ceasefire and perhaps a peace deal in Ukraine. Obviously, what was it? A couple of weeks ago, Trump and Putin met in Alaska, and Trump was the big dog, obviously. A B-2 flight over your head is pretty much the only. I mean, how do you beat that? It's unbelievable. Anyway, Putin and Trump seem to get along well. They chatted. They did what world leaders do. And then, very, very interestingly, on Monday, Zelensky came to Washington and dragged along most of Europe, which I thought was wonderful. And they came to bend the knee to Donald Trump. There is no other way to interpret what they did. They came, they sat in the Oval Office in a semicircle while he talked to them. And it was a wonderful, wonderful optic. I think it proves once and for all that Europe is second class in comparison to the United States of America. We can wax poetic about the joys of European culture. Let's not say European culture. Let's talk about French and Italian culture. But there is nothing great about Europe in comparison to the United States at this point. Was that being a little too aggressive? I don't know.
I think you're pretty accurate. I mean, it all depends on who's sitting in, behind the resolute desk. I mean, to schlep Europe along and to bend at the knee to either the vegetable Biden or even Obama or whoever, but a decent, upstanding and a pro-American American president like Donald Trump, especially, and of course Ronald Reagan and perhaps maybe the Bushes here or there, it's a different story. So, but yes, indeed, Donald Trump is the big dog. And peace is not just maybe in Ukraine and Russia, but it's breaking out all over the world thanks to his efforts. There
Yeah,
are, as we
isn't it
reported in the
disgusting?
last podcast,
Yeah, we should probably send him to jail.
exactly. So,
Yeah, that it is
yeah.
very interesting, and it's clear that he has broken the mold for politicians in the 21st century. He simply doesn't take no for an answer, and if you say no often enough, he'll bomb you. I like that. I think that's called walking softly and beating the snot out of you with B-2s.
Exactly. A nice big stick. Hello.
Yeah. No, quite seriously, he really has broken the mold, and I think it's immensely impressive. I'm not 100% sure why he is being so successful. First of all, he doesn't, he cuts through the bullshit, the pure bureaucratic political mumbo jumbo bullshit that we have come to expect from our leaders. He doesn't tolerate that. He invites people to Washington to make a deal. Let's decide what's going on. And if they don't want to do that, he moves on to people who can make deals. And that message is loud and clear for the leaders of Europe. And they don't like it, but they have no choice. And that
You know,
makes me smile.
absolutely. And one thing I learned years ago when I used to listen to and when God rest his soul, when I used to listen to Rush Limbaugh, is that who, regardless of who is in charge, an American president never has a meeting with a foreign leader until they know well in advance what has been worked out and what has been agreed to. And the meeting, in a sense, is probably just for show. If that's the case with Donald Trump, I'm not sure. But that's it's an it's so whatever they agreed to, perhaps was hammered out maybe many days, if not weeks, in advance. And if it wasn't, then Donald Trump surely knows the art of the deal and knows how to wrangle people and get them to see he means business when he's at the bargaining table. And that is a good thing. About the only fly in the ointment, so to speak, Donald Trump said unequivocally, which is good, that there will be no American boots on the ground. But then again, he said that does not rule out the possibility that American air power will be used either as some sort of no-fly zone or something. And that to me is, I don't know, that's problematic. I'm
Yeah,
sorry.
I agree completely. I wrote about that over at Ace of Spades yesterday on my morning rant. I don't like it. I think the United States is far too involved in the security of Europe, in the defense of Europe. They have a robust industrial base. It might be crappy compared to ours, but they can build their tanks, they can build their planes, they can build their artillery pieces. Let them do that. And let them staff them with European soldiers. We don't have to be involved, and we certainly don't have to pay for it. That really, really bothers me that we are once again going to be on the hook. Perhaps not as much as in years past, but we are certainly going to be on the hook for the costs of the defense of Europe.
That's
That needs to
ridiculous.
end. And I really hope that Donald Trump is serious about no boots on the ground. And I'm very disappointed that he left open the possibility of American military might being used to protect Ukraine. It's unacceptable to me. I still love the guy as a politician. Personally, I don't really give a shit. We've talked about that before, but
Right.
this is a disappointing bit of news.
It is. And it would be nice, though, just on a sort of, I don't know if it's not related, but whatever, but it is Russia. It would be nice that if somehow Vladimir Putin and Prime Minister Xi of the Chaicoms and the Russo-Red Chinese relationship goes back quite a ways, obviously, for obvious reasons, because of Soviet communism. But it at one point, love him or hate Nixon, and I can, yeah, certainly not a big fan of Richard Nixon, but at one point he attempted to cleave, to end the Vietnam War, to get the Russians and the Red Chinese, or the Red Chinese to split from the Vietnamese and certainly from the Russians away from the Red Chinese, whatever one thinks of detente. And in this day and age, that would certainly be, considering that Xi fancies himself the next, emperor of East Asia, if not m much of the world. It would be nice to have the Russians on our side to drive a wedge between the two of those countries, and obviously have Russia on our side in the world's face off and ultimate face off against global Islam. So hopefully down the road that can be a thing, if whatever comes of the this situation in Ukraine.
I'm not sure that the Chinese care about Islam. They deal with it brutally and effectively within China itself. They're
Yes.
and they're not. They're certainly not going to open their borders and let a few hundred thousand or a few million Syrian or Pakistani or whatever
Yeah.
refugees come in.
Course not. But I'm just saying, in terms of having an ally like Putin on our side to combat these things, and Russia is no stranger to Islamic terrorism, as we saw in Beslan and many other places. So, and of course, they'll brutally crack down as well once they find out who and where it's coming from. But at the same token, what the heck? It's not, it would be nice to sort of put them, not necessarily in our camp, but to sort of cleave them away from the Red Chinese, to sort of put the Red
Yeah,
Chinese in a bit of a
I think you're painting a
box,
very rosy picture of that. I hope you're
maybe, but
correct. I really do hope you're correct. One of the problems with Russia is that they have a demographic time bomb. Their Islamic their Muslim population is growing, and their traditional Russian population is not. And that's a problem. Whether they can recover from that is a question for the demographers. I don't think they can. I think that Putin is managing the decline of Russia, in part by being expansionist. Is that going to work? Sure, for a little while it will, but
Maybe.
I don't know. Russia is not. I mean, we saw what happened in Ukraine. Russia claims to be a world power, and yet they couldn't beat a kleptocratic, practically third world country on their border.
Yeah,
And
if
you
you
know
right, if you
they're
yeah.
winning the war, but they should have done it in a week, not 3 years.
Right. Well, that's the whole thing. Yes, they supposedly everyone, all the experts, yeah, they're going to take Ukraine in 48 hours, and here
Yeah.
we are 48 months almost later. And yeah, that how's that working out for you guys?
Yeah.
But still, they're, you know, they did take land, and the Ukrainians can't take it back, and not without massive cost and lives and money. And so,
Yeah,
whatever.
to be fair to the Russians, the advent of the drone, of the cheap, few hundred dollars or a few thousand dollar drone, it was simply unexpected. That's a new thing in war. And it bit the Russians in the ass. I don't really care. It's teaching the United States military a very, very valuable lesson. I know
Oh,
that.
yes.
Yeah. So yeah, we're not screwing around anymore with, oh yeah, drones, they're just toys. They're not toys. They're very,
No,
very
they're
serious
not.
things.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had an article I posted, if not today, maybe a day or so, it's within the last 2 days, from a Media Research, MRC TV, about how Ukraine has destroyed like a gigantic chunk of Russia's oil, you know, refining capacity. And that not only crimps their economy, their war effort, but their economy as well. And that is disastrous for them. So, oh boy, they better, oh, that's not good. So,
Yeah.
and
But
considering it's funny, Europe depends a lot on Russian oil and gas. So that's kind
my
of funny
God,
right
I
there.
mean, you look up hypocrite in the dictionary and there's a map of Europe.
There
Unbelievable.
it is.
They are such whores. It's just stunning to me. Look, we talk about Ukraine and you it means borderland. The word itself, Ukrania, means I think I sorry, I'm butchering it. It means borderland.
No.
It has always been on the border with Russia, whether it's been a part of Russia or a part of Poland or, oh hell, I don't know, Romania. I
Austria,
mean,
Hungary,
Austria.
whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a fluid border for many, many years, for centuries. So this isn't surprising. Of course, it's terrible. I believe in the self-determination of sovereign countries. But again, let's not pretend that Ukraine is guiltless in this. They pushed hard against the Russians. They played hardball with the Russian bear, and the Russian bear decided to play hardball back. And we can go back to the early 90s when James Baker promised the Russians, or promised the Soviet Union, that we would not move NATO to the east. And we did. We lied. Vladimir Putin has a reasonable complaint against NATO and a reasonable complaint against the West. Is his invasion of Ukraine reasonable? No, of course not. But this man isn't a democratically elected leader. He's an autocrat. He's a totalitarian. He's a dictator. That's what they do. I mean, we shouldn't be surprised by that.
And, you know, and speaking of back to the 90s, and you know, Ukraine elected, I don't know if it was Yanukovych or Yushchenko, they elected legitimately a president who was friendly with and had rapproche and good relations with Vladimir Putin. And the American State Department, and I think it was Obama's State Department, engineered the color revolution. That's when that phrase first came into the lexicon via this fat slag Victoria Nuland from the State Department. They literally overthrew the government and threw out a legitimately elected, democratically elected president and installed someone who was anti-Putin and pro-Obama, if not pro-American. And so, look, you know, it goes around. And so here we are talking about democracy, and these hypocrites—they just make me so sick. But there you go. Hypocrisy, thy name is Democrat and leftist.
Well, speaking of hypocrites, let's talk about Washington, D.C. for a little bit. Obviously, Donald Trump got sick and tired of the ultra violence occurring in Washington every night and decided to do something about it. The law governing Washington, D.C. gives the federal government a tremendous amount of power over it, and Donald Trump decided to use that power, I think appropriately. So he told the many federal agencies to start patrolling Washington, D.C., and he also sent I'm not sure how many, but he sent some National Guard troops in to do the same. And the shock among the liberal literati was unbelievable. They were disgusted that how dare he send troops to Washington, D.C. But it's very convenient for these people who are complaining about the federalization of law enforcement in D.C. that they're not affected by it. They're not affected by the horrible crime in D.C. It's the black people in D.C. who are affected by it. Something
In the
like
main,
88,
yes.
yeah, something like 88% of the homicides are of blacks in Washington, D.C. And yet you go and look at the protests, and they're all white. They're all they're Karens from Bethesda. These are or professional protesters. This has obviously nothing to do with crime, and it has everything to do with their rabid, insane hatred of Donald Trump.
Absolutely, because if you in any inner city, generally speaking, everywhere that they've tried to defund the police, yeah, these are the same people that called for defunding the police in the wake of the criminal George Floyd being unfortunately, well, losing his life while resisting arrest, a legitimate arrest, by the way. But in any event, most inner city residents are screaming bloody murder that they want their streets, they want broken window policies, they want more policing. They don't care if black youths, male youths get stopped and pulled over, whatever. They're not crying racism because they know who are the ones that are committing most of the crimes. It's essentially black in the main, male youths. Too bad, but that those are the facts on the ground and in the prisons and in the jails. And yep, but of course we can't have that because it's racist.
Yeah,
Gewalt.
racist my
Makes it makes
ass.
it make, exactly
Yeah.
makes your head explode. But
And
meanwhile,
by the
the
way,
lid,
there is some data that show the usual suspects are in those protests. There's a way to track cell phones, and they can identify cell phones that have been in multiple protests. And that's exactly what's going on in D.C. That these
yep, and we
protests
found out.
are—they're being done by professionals. This is not organic at all.
There was a link in today's morning report that, in fact, one of the main groups that's funding it is funded by, surprise, surprise, a name we've never heard before, George Soros. And one of his, I mean, I can't believe a RICO investigation. He should have been deported to Malaysia or wherever he faces an actual death sentence long ago, and every last penny of his that still remains, confiscated, and his entire organization dismantled as a criminal enterprise, and to hell with his children. So there you go. But whatever. I wish they would work on that. That would certainly help. That
But
and
they,
care.
yeah. So, on a lighter note, apparently there still is a Miss Universe pageant going on in the world. I had no idea. And Nadine Ayoub is going to be the first ever Miss Universe Palestine. And I quote that she is going to be, quote, the voice of a people who refuse to be silenced. Now, obviously, she's got the inside track for to winning this thing. I think that it would be very difficult for the judges not to vote for her, because oh my God, what a wonderful slap in the face to Israel if you voted in a Palestinian as the as Miss Universe. But
I
it
wouldn't,
just
I wouldn't object to it so long as the contestant was the corpse of Helen Thomas. That would be that would be my one caveat.
Yeah, she's not
Parade
that
her
good looking either,
around.
which really pisses me off because there are some very attractive Palestinian women. I've seen them. I think there's a porn channel that dedicated to them. Probably several of them. I'm kidding. I have no idea.
Yes, they wear. They don't wear
Really,
chastity
folks,
belts.
I am
They
kidding.
wear
I don't watch
suicide.
Palestinian porn.
They wear suicide chastity belts, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
where they say don't stick your you know what in crazy, don't stick your you know what in TNT or Semtex.
Oy vey mio.
Kaboom, literally. Yay.
Yeah.
But
So
on
on
another,
another lovely note, there's a
go ahead.
video of an IDF, of an Israeli Defense Forces tank, running over a terrorist. The guy had an RPG and he was trying to shoot at the tank, and the tank crew just said, "Oh, okay. Well, let's see what happens when you get run over." Merkava tanks weigh probably 50 or 60 tons, so I don't think he's doing well.
No, I don't
But that
think
made me
so. And
laugh.
there you go. That's a that there. There's your comedy gold, ladies and gentlemen. I love it too. A little roadkill, literal.
Yeah.
And speaking of making heads explode, Donald Trump, I don't think we mentioned this, has decided he's going to try to end national mail-in voting. I doubt he can be successful, but at least, as we have said before, when he brings an issue into the public consciousness, when the public understands it and sees it for what it is, he generally wins public opinion by and large, as he's done with the crime issue, as he's done with illegal aliens, as he's done with almost every issue out there. What win, lose, or draw, at least it's out there in the public consciousness, and people shake their heads going and say, you know, the man's got, at least reasonable people will say he's got a point, whether or not it has a success chance of success. So yes, hopefully we can one day be free from the absolute fraud machine that is mail-in balloting.
Well, the timing couldn't have been better too. They have video of of ballot stuffing. I'm sorry, mail-in ballot stuffing into their drop boxes in a in Hamtramck, Michigan, which shockingly is a Muslim enclave.
I call it Hamas-tramic.
I mean, it's just it's pathetic how easily we could fix our voting systems and how much resistance there is. And I brought this up before. Just think about, oh, I don't know, your ATM card. I mean, how often is there actual fraud with ATM cards? I'm not talking about people losing them. I'm not talking about people being fooled to give up their ID codes or whatever they call them.
Your PIN code,
But true, institutional fraud, it just doesn't happen because our banks don't fuck around when it comes to protecting our money and obviously their money. So, and that's a silly little example. There, it is so easy to create a robust and safe voting system, and yet
I mean,
the Democrats don't want to do it. And there's only one reason why they don't want to do it.
because they steal, they win by essentially rigging it if they can.
Yes.
And, you know, and with mail-in voting, guess what you have? You have the postal carriers. And I'm not saying your postal carrier is a cheater, but let's face it, it's a government union with government employees. And in the main, they are Democrats.
Yeah.
So there you go. I mean, QED.
Sadly, it's as simple as that. It's
Yep.
just, it's, yeah. Anyway.
And if, you know, and if Saddam Hussein can have a legitimate election, remember with the purple thumbs? I mean, even Jimmy Carter railed against this kind of nonsense. And you know, Lord knows if he's railing against it, he's always says mail-in because it's you can steal elections. And if we're just if he knows third world better than anybody. So that's what we if that's what we want, that's what we'll get, good and hard, unless we learn our lesson. So hopefully the Americans in the main will wake up and see this.
I certainly hope so. And I think your point is well taken that Donald Trump exposing the issue and publicizing the issue with the American people, to the American people, is the beginning of a sea change in their opinions about it. Although I think that for
Absolutely.
the most part, Americans believe that our voting systems are less than robust. How about if I say it that way?
That's a good way to say it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, folks, Sefton and I are on schedule, so we're going to make this a short one. Thank you very much for listening. As I said, this is a new season that has sounds suspiciously like the old season, but that's okay. Hope you've been entertained or at least irritated. And we will talk to you next week. Sefton, take it away.
Yes, I echo what CBD says, and God bless you, sir, and to all our friends for supporting us with your comments, with your clicks. Obviously, we're hitting our tip jars. I mean, it's appreciated more than you can know because it really does help keep the lights on. And we will be back next week with a new one on the Kutchup Newsletter Podcastulation Network around the world, across our nation, and up your street. And we hope to bring you some of our favorite old guests and perhaps one or two new ones in the coming season. So look for that, listen for that. We'll give you a heads up when and where we can. So God bless you, Alice, and we will see you next week.
Thanks for listening, folks.